You're listening to Big Blend Radio's English Connection Show with Glenn Burrows, owner of Norfolk Tours. So welcome back, Glenn. Super excited to have you back on the show today because we're going to talk about choo-choo trains in England. How are
We
you
are.
doing, Glenn?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Thanks. Yeah. Lovely day over here we've just had. So, yeah, looking forward to that dreaded December time.
Oh, come on. It's jolly. Don't be bah humbuggy.
No,
You got
no.
to be excited.
I love that time of year.
And you've got grandbabies too. So that makes it more
Well,
fun,
I've
doesn't
got
it?
three beautiful little granddaughters and they are so excited. So that's all good
Aw.
fun.
Listen, I had, some of the best times in as a child was Christmas in England. And, I think we arrived when I was like 7 or 8. I don't know. But I was a kid, a little kid. And when we got to England, going to train travel, that was my first experience in England, other than
Right.
Heathrow Airport. And that can that's a whole other city of itself. But
Yes.
we went on a train up north to where we were going to move to. And that's how I saw England for the first time as a little girl was on a train. And so
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool that we could do. And it was completely different than being on a train ride in Africa. So
I
that's
bet.
interesting.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
bet it is.
It's very different. It wasn't so packed. Actual
No.
seats. Everybody had their individual seats and it was very polite and there was a conductor. And you know what's so weird, Glenn, and I shouldn't even probably say this on a show, but we always do, right? Growing up in Kenya, you address people according to their tribal
Yes.
customs.
Yep.
And so, like in some tribes, you do not look people directly in the eye. That is rude. It's antagonistic. And, out of respect and being humble, you actually look down. You do not look in their eyes. So when we got to the train, as we were boarding the train, there was a black man who was the conductor. And I went up to him and I said, "What tribe are you?" And he was not pleased with me. Glenn
No.
at all. He just looked at me and looked at Nancy like you're the evil parent. What have you been teaching your kid,
Yeah.
but I was being completely polite. That's what
Of
you do.
course.
But
Yeah.
that was an interesting interaction. And then he spoke with a British accent and that kind of blew me away. So it was
I bet.
a whole different cultural connection, and that's the beauty of travel is you think you know what you know in your little bubble, but as soon as you get out into the big wide world, it is a big wide world.
And that can be a major problem. Like, you experienced that as a child, but if you thought about that as an adult and you did that, then you could end up in big trouble.
I didn't mean anything other than
No, of
respect.
course you didn't. And
But as yeah.
you wouldn't necessarily have meant anything even as an adult, but if you didn't know, you didn't know,
Yeah.
it's one of them
That's a,
things.
well, I think the more we travel, the more we know.
Yes, exactly.
And the train rides, to me are very interesting because it's also a way of, number one, you don't have to worry about parking and
No.
driving and staying awake at the wheel. Nancy and I
That's a
drive so
big
much,
thing.
but you can actually relax, sit and watch the views. You can read a book. You can chat with people that you don't know.
Yes. And actually, there was something the other day, actually, because my son was going to come down with his daughter, and said, "Can you pick us up in King's Lynn? We're going to come on the train." And I said to him, "Why don't you come on the bus? Because, there's buses, there's trains, there's everything in England." And my wife said to me, "Yeah, but it's so much easier on the train because there's a toilet." And that's another thing, on a train, you've got a toilet all the time. And you've also got a restaurant car, so you can have a cup of coffee. So
Ooh.
train travel is just so much more simple because you can just get up and walk to the toilet or walk to the cafe and have a coffee. And so it is much easier than traveling on a bus or in a car even because you don't have to
Yeah.
stop. You keep going.
But don't stick your head out the window. Things do
No,
fly up in
no.
your face. I've learned
And
that too. That's
don't
not
use the
good.
toilet in the station.
Oh, use the toilet on the train instead of in the station? No, talk about toilets.
You mustn't use the toilet while the train is stopped in the station.
Oh, only when it's moving.
When it's moving, yes.
Okay, I get the picture, Glenn.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want that picture.
No, but that's just what it says in the toilets on the trains. Is don't use when it's in the station.
Okay, yes. Okay, I'm going to watch my mouth and behave right now because I have some funny things to say back. And I'm going to keep it clean.
That's right. You can edit that piece out.
Yeah, really. But yeah, I was just going to say we're all making our own train tracks. But anyway, I just thought that's pretty funny. But Nancy's giving me faces here, Glenn.
I'll bet.
She's wondering what are we talking about. But so this is interesting. So there's different, like in South Africa, we had what was the Garden Route had a train, and there was a song, Catch the Blue Train. It was known as, I don't know if it still runs today. But it's a scenic ride, and it's actually part of a vacation so that you can see the Garden Route, which goes up the coast, the east coast of South Africa.
Right.
From Cape Town, Knysna. So you have forest, and you have these rugged cliffs, and you have history of when Vasco da Gama came and landed in South, what is now South Africa. And, I mean, if you see protea blooms with, you know, sugar birds, it's like little hummingbirds. They're like a little bit bigger. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And so I'm not here to promote South Africa, but I always, you know, England was in there too.
Yeah, of course.
But is that kind of the same thing you can do through the English countryside, is really just kind of have this, put it as part of your vacation to just really enjoy the countryside and go through the village? Do you see the villages and things like that?
Yeah. I mean, there are lots and lots of heritage railways in England. I mean, we've got one in Norfolk that runs from Holt to Sheringham, which goes up over the North Norfolk coast. There's a beautiful one down in Devon and Cornwall that runs, you know, along the sort of Devon Cornwall area, which is really good because you can actually connect up to a boat. So you go down to Dartmouth and then you get the ferry across the river as well. And that's all on one ticket, you know, so you get a really good cross section of different transport methods. And that's a steam train that does that. It's a steam train that does that at Sheringham. Then of course there's the normal train routes, and many of them actually are on the same tracks that were built in the 1840s and 50s. So a lot of them are really old routes, and a lot of them do go around, obviously, by the coast. They go through the mountains, they go through the valleys, they go through the countryside, they go through forests, you know, so you can actually, if you're interested in anything in particular, you know, you can sort of journey through that sort of area on a train. There's another beautiful one which goes across the Yorkshire Moors, and that goes into Whitby, you know. So that, if I don't know whether you get the old television program Heartbeat, used to be a program on the television sort of based in the 1960s in Yorkshire, and that is, you can go to the village where that was filmed and then get a train from the middle of the Yorkshire Moors right the way across to Whitby on the coast. And then the one that goes from Edinburgh right the way down to Peterborough, which is all the way down the east coast of England, a lot of that is actually right on the side, right on the cliffs and right on the beach. So you actually go and by the sea. You know, sometimes the train routes are actually better than the coastal road, because the train actually goes further or nearer to the coast than the road does, you know. So sometimes you get such fantastic views. And the best thing that we always like about going on a train is that even if you know the area really well, you see a different part of it when you're on the train.
Because, oh, I like that.
Because obviously you're on a completely different route to what you are when you're in a car, because the roads and the trains go on a different area. That's fantastic. I love going on a train.
Me too. It's exciting, and I don't have to work, you know. One thing, we have what's called Amtrak here, which is like a faster train, and people can even do their work. They have Wi-Fi and stuff. And
yeah,
some,
yeah,
on,
yeah.
You know, and people travel across the country this way. Nancy and I keep going, man, we should just do that. You know,
yeah.
But it's a little bit of a bigger country. But what I look at it going like, you could catch a train maybe from London, right? And then, you know, maybe you want to go to the Yorkshire one, but you could get off where you want to get off, right? And say, okay, I'm going to spend a couple nights exploring this area and then get back on the train and go to the next destination, right?
Yeah,
So it's kind of more
exactly.
customized than going on a group bus tour, which, like, I know with Norfolk Tours, with your company, you work really well with helping people customize exactly what they want to experience in England, you know,
Yes.
according to budget, of course. But
Yeah, of course.
This is part of that, right? So if someone says to you, hey, Glenn, I want to do this kind of train ride, will you meet me at this point? And then from there, let's go to Stonehenge or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually had quite a few people who have had a few days in London. You know, they've arrived at the airport, they've got themselves into London, had a few days in London, and then got on a train and come up to either Cambridge or King's Lynn or Norwich, and I've picked them up at the train station. My last visitors actually had just done a coach tour in Scotland, and they said that they wanted me to pick them up in Edinburgh. And I said, well, it would be a lot easier for you, a lot more comfortable for you, if you took the train from Edinburgh to Peterborough. And so I arranged their train tickets, and they got on the train in Edinburgh, and I picked them up in Peterborough. And they had a really lovely hour and a half, whatever it was, 2 hour journey on the train all the way down the east coast of England, and, you know, from Edinburgh, from Scotland. So, you know, that is a way that we can do things, you know, so it doesn't really matter where you are in England. I can sort you out train trips and pick you up from the station, and then we can go somewhere else, you know. But, you know, it is so simple, because there are a lot of trains that still run in England. You know, we are still quite fortunate that you can get to most of the big places in England on a train. You know, I know that not every country is that fortunate, but, you know, we can do a lot of train travel.
That's cool, though. Now, what about the historic side? Because here in the States, we have avid railroad enthusiasts of the history, model railroads. I even know, isn't Rod Stewart makes model train stuff. I know that when he travels, he has
it
an
is very popular.
Railroad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, model train, I think that is super creative. It's like you're almost building your own city, you know, because you have to plan and all of that.
At the end of the day, there is a computer thing, isn't it, that they build their own towns and settlements and everything. So, you know, with a train track, you're doing it all yourself, aren't you? Real. It's not virtual. Mm-hmm. It's a real set. But, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of sort of groups and societies that do that meet up. In fact, there's a railway station that runs from Holt to Sheringham, and that is the old railway that is a steam train that you can ride on. But actually, I think it's in Holt Station, there is actually a model rail track that's laid out in the station as well, so that, you know, you can have a look at a model railway as well as a real railway. And that's quite interesting, because you get the two beside each other. But there are some really, I mean, York is the National Railway Museum, where you can go to and actually see loads and loads of railway memorabilia and station architecture, the trains themselves, the things that used to be at stations, you know, all the old railway stuff, so to speak. But there are also museums that are dedicated to model railways. So there's something for everybody.
Tell us a little bit about depots. That's something also that it's so cool to go to a railroad depot that's historic. And
yes,
think about, you know, there's people that you know that are like, there's, your ancestors could have been there. They could have met there. They could have like said goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, one going off to war or something
Oh,
like that.
yes.
Like there's so many, it's kind of romantic actually when you think about railroad stations, like
yes.
depots.
Yeah, I mean, railway stations and railway platforms are the place where everybody says goodbye to people, isn't it? You know, or they used to years ago. You know, the old 1940s films, you know, there was always the young lady with her, you know, her tissue or her handkerchief in her hand, and the young man with his hat on waving out of the window as he went off to war or something, you know, but that is where it all happened. And railway stations used to be the place, because, not being funny, you know, when people emigrated from England to all corners of the world, the place they would have emigrated from would have been their local railway station. Anytime from the 1850s onwards, if you left your village and went anywhere, you would have went to the local railway station, and then that would have been the start of your onward journey. So anyone who emigrated after, say, 1850, 1860, the start of their journey would have been a horse and cart to the local railway station. And that is where they would have started their journey for America, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, wherever they were going. Because England was so well connected by railways that you could get on a railway within 2 or 3 miles of most villages, and then the world was your oyster. You could go anywhere in the world.
When you think about it, I mean, that's pretty amazing. And that is when it gets down to the family history. And then there's like the famous people that have been through railroads too. Like, hey, I stood where so-and-so was.
Well, yeah. You know? I mean, you know that I often talk about Sandringham, which is where, you know, the king has his private house now. It used to be the Queen's, obviously. But there was actually, when the house was built in 1870, Edward VII, who was at that time Prince of Wales, decided to build a new railway station. And he built a railway station at Wolferton, which is just a couple of miles from Sandringham House. And that was where the royal family used to arrive by train. And in fact, that is where the body of King George V started his journey back to London when he passed away at Sandringham. And that's also the place where George VI's body went from Norfolk, when it went back to London, when he passed away at Sandringham. So these railway stations are really big places within the history of the country and of the local area as well. And some of these buildings are really fantastic. I mean, if you look, just do a Google search of some of the London railway stations, like Paddington and Euston. And some of those were built in the middle of the Victorian, well, most of them were built in the middle of the Victorian period. And they are absolutely amazing pieces of 19th century architecture. I mean, when you look at a railway station, the big railway stations, and I'm using my hands because I need to show you what I'm talking about, they are great big open buildings with a massive span of a roof. And most of these big buildings have got a glass roof over the top of them to let the light in. And they were all built during the Victorian period. So you're talking about 150 years ago, some of them, you know.
That's amazing. You know, yes. I love the stories also of like the royal family being on a train and then like, you know, the bodies too, you know, that have passed. Yeah. You know, they did that with Abraham Lincoln, went on a train and people, like the train stopped and people paid their, it was like a moving wake, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Being able to see him. But so a question on that is like, so when they have like, here's the king's body on a train, you know, obviously in the coffin and, you know, well, I'm hoping so. Or the queen is going to Sandringham with her family. Were they like, this is our train, nobody else is allowed on it? Or were they like, I mean, how did that work? I mean,
they were just the royal train with the entourage as well, you know, all the staff that they need to have with
them.
And of course, I mean, I think I included one picture that I sent to you, of a carriage that belonged to one of the members of the landed gentry. And actually, their royal trains and their, you know, the rich people's train carriages were actually set up like, you know, a really good salon, you know, with beautiful furniture, carpets, real good china and glass. And, you know, they were as if they were living in their own living accommodation, but it just so happened it was on wheels, you know. Ooh. So they were actually made specifically for them, and the public didn't travel on the royal trains. My dad actually went to school in King's Lynn, and he remembered when he was at school that Queen Mary came by in the train, and the train went slow when it went by the school because all the school children were taken out to the railway track to wave to Queen Mary as she came by, you know. So the fact that the royal train came by was a major event for people, you know, who were on the track.
You know, you were talking about the Yorkshire one, and I think I think that's where my Nana comes from. Yorkshire?
Right.
Hull. So not
Hull, correct. Yeah.
Hull. Is that close by? Like, I wonder if she...
Yeah, that's on the East Coast, yeah. Yeah, that's up there.
Oh, you mean that we could be related, Glenn?
Go we probably
if it's
are
on the
somewhere.
East Coast. Oh my gosh. Oh, Glenn's going to start running. Yeah. I mean, because it's, Hull is where she's from. I kept thinking it was Holt when you were talking about Holt.
No,
and everyone, Glenn has a great article with the photos and everything up on blendradioandtv.com. And that is linked from the show notes. So you can see the images and read about this and, you know, to get planning for your own rail adventure. I think this is, you know, it's amazing with the railroad really built up this country. That everything changed because of rail, going west and mining. You know, you could have a mine and get all these, you know, gems and silver and gold, but what are you going to do with it? You know, you can't really transport by horseback, you know, or donkey or mule for great quantities. Food changed. The Industrial Revolution really happened because of rail. And so is that for England as well? Like, did that change the way England did business, basically, by having
absolutely
rail?
Absolutely. Because it changed the importance of a lot of towns. Because in England, obviously, we are a relatively small island. So all of the important towns before the railway came, all of the important towns were on either the coast or a major river. And that's because everything went by boat. Mm. Everything had to be transported on the water. When the railways came, everything changed. So for a town like King's Lynn, for instance, that was a really important port, when the railways came, King's Lynn decreased in importance because it didn't need to be near the water anymore. So they had to make sure that actually there was a railway station. So they built a railway station in King's Lynn so as it would keep up the connections, so that then the port then had something to hand their goods onto to then bring it to the rest of the country. So, you know, say for instance, you imported a load of planks of wood, they needed the station to take it from the port inland. And then we have places like Manchester or Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Birmingham's
Liverpool.
A fantastic example. Birmingham was just a little village before the railways came.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a massive place. And it's simply down to the railways, because as soon as the railways came, people who were forward thinking could think, right, well, I'm going to set up a railway station here. And wherever there's a railway station, it's a center of work. You know, it's like a crossroads, you know. The railways absolutely changed everything.
Yeah, they did. And you know, also tourism changed because of the railroad, you know, because it brought workers in, you know, like, you know, you've got, say you're talking about that same wood shipment, right? You know, here's, you know, you're going to have someone to pick it up. You can't just, you know, push a button and it magically puts itself to the, you know, the place it's going to get manufacturing. I think of Iron Bridge Gorge that we were talking about the other month.
Yeah.
And, you know, that railroad had to have helped them, you know, with all the iron work.
And you see, you're talking about tourism. Places like, well, for instance, like Blackpool, like Great Yarmouth, they were just fishing villages and fishing towns. But as soon as the railways came, all of the people could get to these different places. So as soon as the railways came, Great Yarmouth then changed its whole outlook on life and became a tourism place. When, for instance, when the railways came, one of the men who lived on the North Norfolk coast in a little village called Hunstanton, he decided that he would build a railway station, but not near his house. He didn't want the railway station near his house. So he built the railway station a little bit further up the coast. And then he started to build other buildings like a hotel. And guess what? It turned into a tourist destination. And Hunstanton now is a tourism place, mainly because it was started by the railways. Funnily enough, the railway is no longer there anymore. But Hunstanton as a settlement didn't exist until the railways came. And then it was built. It's a completely Victorian town, New Hunstanton. There's Old Hunstanton. Old Hunstanton is the fishing village, but New Hunstanton is completely Victorian. It was probably built from the 1870s onwards.
It's
amazing.
Crazy when and on this side, I know we're talking England, but your relatives are over here.
Of course.
You look at, you know, we've done so much, you know, travel and go to these tiny towns like Tombstone, Arizona. One lady had written a whole book on the food of Tombstone.
Right.
And even have recipes in, you know, so Tombstone, you know, is famous for the OK Corral and gun, you know, Wyatt Earp and, you know, all of that and Doc Holliday in the movie. But today you go there and they still are living like the movie, which is based on a true story. And Wyatt Earp was not that nice of a man, just saying, everyone. But anyway, the town was actually moved and it was a mining camp and moved location as the mines got bigger and all of that. And it was the railroad that, because of the railroad that was nearby, that, you know, as people, at one point, people were living in tents, right? And even restaurants were in tents, glorified tents, if you will, back then. But then it, you know, you could go into a restaurant in a tent and have oysters, which was a luxury, you know? And the only way they got oysters was because the railroad went to the coast. It went to San Diego, San Francisco, mostly actually at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, so the people that were getting rich in these mining towns, they, you know, oh, I'm having, you know, oysters and lobster tonight, which cost a fortune. But, you know, also at that time frame, and as we move forward into the Industrial Revolution, people really, these rich people really wanted to show off their richness, their, you know, and in some cultures, you know, you could go to someone's house and think it's a dump. Open the door and you'll realize, oh, these people are really rich, but they don't let people know from the outside. You know, it's very interesting how we all handle money, but back then it was about what you ate. Could you afford to import pineapple, which you see pineapples in Victorian architecture? And it was like, yes, I've got the money to import a pineapple.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, look at me, I've got pineapples. You know, now we just get pineapples in the grocery store at any time. But this is all because of making tracks with trains. But we also have towns that really wanted the railroad. Yerington is one. They changed their name three times. And the third one was Yerington. That was because that was the name of the railroad manager of this one region. And they were trying to get him to bring the railroad to Yerington, because they have a mine, a copper mine out there. And he never did, even though they named the town after him. Isn't that, that's mean. And
well,
I was wondering if you had any of those kind of happenings in England where people were like the villagers were rallying to get the train to come to their town, you know, because they knew it was going
It
to end.
did happen, but it happened in a lot of different ways over here. And a lot of it was where landowners didn't want the railways to come through their estates. They
Okay.
didn't want the railway to pass anywhere near their properties, you know. So they would agree for there to be a railway that crossed their land as long as it went, you know, out of the way so they didn't see it or hear it. There were some places where the entrepreneurs, I suppose, the sort of the town businesses realized that if they didn't get the railway to come in, then they would be lost. So a lot of them did then start to work towards getting the railway in. But it's quite funny, really, when you see that some places the railway was really accepted and the railway's in the middle of the town. And then you see another place where the railway was an afterthought and it's miles away, you know. So it is really strange how different concepts and different ideas of the either the landowners or the business people had a really big influence on where railways are and where they were developed and where they weren't developed. Well, like I said, the one at Hunstanton is a real fantastic example of a really forward-thinking landowner. But again, he didn't want the railway to turn up on his doorstep, so he invented a new town where the railway,
Wow.
you know, because he could, you know.
It's amazing, though. It
Oh,
fascinates
it
me. And
is.
then tourism, you know, the one story we have in this country is how artwork and artists, renderings of our net, what is now some of our most famous national parks, like Yosemite and Yellowstone, you know, the only way they could show, this is before photography, the beauty and splendor of this land was to create art and show it. And it was, they couldn't just put it on a horse and carriage because you're talking massive paintings. And it was through rail travel that they were able to go to Congress and say, hey, dudes, look at this. We need to protect this, you know. So I, you know, I think about that too. Like, it just, I think rail travel is just really fast. I mean, all of it is, but we just still have to have some balance to it. You know, there's communities that like someone has like a train literally in their backyard. So you hear it and feel it every day, and that's part of your lifestyle. And you, some people may hate it, but when you leave it, you may miss it and come home for the holidays, right? And oh yeah, I remember the train going by. And I don't know how healthy it is for us. I've heard all kinds of different stories about that,
I
but
don't
there's
think that's
something kind of cool about it, you know, in some ways.
I think it's that sort of romanticism, if that's the right word, of train travel that, you know, we remember the films from the 1940s of people traveling on the train and, you know, Murder on the Orient Express and the train carriages and I mean, I love the old train carriages where you walk along a corridor and you go into your own little carriage,
And
you
you always
know.
have a spy with the cape and the hat, the coat and the hat, like a spy getting on and off a train. Like there's a mysterious thing to it too. Like you just pop on and off at different towns and just fade into the cloud, the crowd. Like just there it is. I didn't do it. I'm following someone,
But
you
you
know.
know, it is such an evocative way to travel. And you know, the way that you're sitting on a train and you hear the ta-tum, 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 that just is such a lovely noise that when you're going along a train, just that constant tum 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 tum, it just is so hypnotic. And it is just, I don't know, just the fact that you're looking out of a window seeing the countryside go by. And whenever you go by people when you're on a train, everybody always waves to people on a train. They
Yeah,
do.
it's you wave a little white hanky out there, you know.
Yeah, well,
There's some
exactly.
that there is just it is really interesting. And you know, when I was talking about the national parks, it was, you know, Here we have a lot of scenic trains, like I was talking about. Amtrak is a way people traveled from city to city.
Yeah.
And then, there's also like the Rocky Mountaineer, I think it's called, where you go through like Canada, like areas like
Yes.
Banff and Jasper and the Rocky
Yes.
Mountains, and they even have it where it's pretty much like a glass tunnel that you're traveling in,
Yes.
so you can see all the scenery.
When we went across Canada, we actually stopped in a lay-by because there was a train that was going through a mountain, and the train needed to go down quite a long way. So it was a spiral tunnel, and you kept seeing the train go in and out and in and out and in
Wow.
and out. And what they had done, I can't remember where it was now, but it was on the west of Canada, and it was the Rocky Mountain train,
Okay.
and it was just going in and out of the mountain on a spiral, so as that it weren't
Wow.
too steep, and it just kept going in and out and in and out, and as the last carriage was going in the top, the carriages were still coming out of the bottom. It was a fantastic thing to see. But
Wow, that's
it's
amazing.
them sort of things, seeing the Rocky Mountains on a train is better than just flying from one side of the Canada to the other,
And you
because
get
you're
to really
seeing
see
it.
the nature, and the animals get used to it. They kind
Yes,
of know
exactly.
this is the area. So speaking of that kind of beauty, and we were talking about the scenic train rides in England, can
Yes.
you go to, your national parks through train rides in England, like the Lake
Yes.
District and places
Yeah.
like
Oh,
that?
yeah. There's trains that run up to the Lake District and went all over the country. But like I say, we are so fortunate that we can go sort of almost anywhere on a train. Obviously, you can't go to every little tiny village, but you can come to an area and you're within 20, 30 miles of where you want to go. So if anyone wanted to come to England and do a lot of train travel, then I could easily sort that out. So I would run them between the railway stations into the places they wanted to go to, but they could travel on a train. And there are so many historical trains that they could do quite a lot of their travel on, historical trains, on these heritage train routes, like the steam trains and
Oh, wow.
the old-fashioned railway stations and things like that. And
Ooh.
it is just so such a different way to see the country. It
I
really
love
is.
it. I love it. I'm so glad we chose this topic for this month. It does feel cozy, and it feels like, yeah, you can
Yes.
do it. And even, trains run through snow too. Isn't that amazing that they can do that? And
Yes.
sometimes they have to stop, but we have big snow in this country in
Yeah. I mean,
certain areas.
sometimes in England we do have the trains stopped because of ice and
Yeah.
snow. But generally speaking, the trains run when cars and buses don't run. So, it's a good way to travel, and it's just so different. And like I say, it's so evocative, and there are certain trains that run. We were talking about Basil Fawlty before we actually were
From
talking on
Fawlty
live.
Towers, yeah, John Cleese.
There are several trains that do specific things. I mean, there's a local one here that does the Polar Express. It's on an old steam train, and every Christmas, leading up to Christmas, they do the Polar Express, and you're on an old train and you've got the Polar Express going on. There's another one, the one at Holt and Sheringham, they do a train that takes you to see Father Christmas, or Santa, as you call him in America. There's other ones where you can do a 1940s dining experience. Then there's other ones where you can do a murder mystery. So you can do Murder on the Orient Express type of thing on a heritage
Cool.
railway. There's
That's cool.
so many things that you can do that can get you transported back in time, as well
What's
as
it? This is.
enjoying a nice meal or having a bit of fun on a train,
This is about true experience, and I think
It is.
that's the point. People, we're sometimes we feel the world is way backwards,
Yes.
but and those issues are. But in regards to travel, travelers now, and it really isn't about age. This is just with all ages. People
Yes.
want an experience. They don't want the same cookie cutter thing.
No.
And it's almost competitive now about, hey, well, have you seen this? Have you done that? Whereas, we really have access to these experiences. Like it's, we've never had it as what we have now in the
No,
world
there's
of travel.
so many opportunities now that, I mean, funnily enough, I've got a group that are coming to visit in January, and I'm now putting together the finer details. But it's an artisan week, so I'm taking them to someone who does glass blowing, another one who makes their own gin, so it's a gin distillery. Some more people who do their own baking, biscuits and things like that.
Ooh.
Then there's someone else who I'm trying to get to do some pottery with us. Then there's a jewelry maker who's going to do
Wow.
some work, an artist, and then there's someone who's a woodworker. So I'm putting together an artisan week, but there are just so many to choose from,
Yeah.
so whatever interests people have got, if they actually try and look into these things, it's amazing what they can find. So they can actually get a taste of something, get an actual experience. And
That's
you cannot
cool.
beat that experience. You cannot beat it.
I love this, Glenn. I love this. So everyone, again, norfolk-tours.co.uk. Is Glenn's website. Of course, we're here with Glenn every fourth Saturday. So keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And again, Glenn's article, and you can see the images too. All the visuals there is up on blendradioandtv.com. All the links are in the show notes as always. And you'll also see it all featured with this podcast in the upcoming Big Weekly Blend magazine. But as always, Glenn, it's so much fun to chat with you. And this is airing the day after Black Friday, so I hope everybody made it through that
Oh
horrific
no.
event. Everybody go on a train ride instead of Black Friday, those
Yeah,
kind of
do.
things. You could celebrate your holidays this way too. It's kind of a cool family, it's kind of a way to get the family together on something really cool,
Yeah.
a family experience. We used to have Sunday drives, like have a Sunday meal, Sunday dinner, or roast, or now I'm thinking England now, right? And the go for a drive. There was always like
Yeah.
a family activity for some church and all of that. And I feel like we need to have these experiences back in a way that we regroup with. Maybe it's on a Sunday for a family, but everyone's different. But having some kind of excursion, no matter where you are in the world, just get on a train for even just that afternoon or something. Go on a little ride, a little joy ride, wherever
Exactly.
you are, and
Yeah, I
just kind of
mean,
experience it.
there is nothing better than just wrapping up and going for a walk in a park.
Yeah. Oh, Glenn,
Do
those
that.
little kids' train rides, right? Those little trains,
Yes.
like they have them in, some theme parks, sometimes
Yeah.
in gardens. You go on these little train rides through a garden, botanical garden. Like,
Yeah.
seriously, that is so much fun. And some of them are faster than others, so that's fun too. So there's, I think just it's like have that experience. You don't have to break the bank over it. And like you're
No.
saying, even if it's just a walk on the beach or a walk down your street, have those experiences in life. That's what it's all about. So thank you
Go
so
for it.
much, Glenn.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you again. Speak to you soon.
Thank you for joining us for Big Blend Radio's English Connection show with Glenn Burrows, owner of Norfolk Tours. If you're planning a vacation to England or looking up your family history in England, visit norfolk-tours.co.uk to connect with Glenn. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.